Blue Wire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an emergency episode of That's What Bea Said. I'm your host, Bree, at Breezy Clee, and I'm joined by Bird's Eye Views with me. Hello, Britt.
Hi.
She waved. And Meredith at MK on Sports. Hello, Meredith.
Hi, guys.
All right, ladies. Well, the fun is over. We're recording on a Sunday night.
Emergency.
After an atrocious
emergency. This is an emergency situation.
The Browns got murdered in Pittsburgh today.
There's been a murder.
I do declare.
Losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers 38-7, taking their record to 4-2. 7 points, guys, after three straight weeks of 30 plus. 7 points. Does this feel like a repeat of week one against the Ravens to either of you? Because I felt like I went back in time.
Well, the 7 points was better than the 6 points from week one.
Positive. Somebody commented and said, what'd they say? Hi, ladies. Hope you can bring some light to this day. So, number one, more points than week one.
There you go. We can end the show now.
Starting.
That's it. That's all we got.
All right. Well, you know what? You know what I will say about all of this is people in the comments are correct. Brown's Twitter is a disaster, which is why we're partially doing this episode, because we also have a lot to get off of our chest. And honestly, I don't want to sit at night before bed and stew. I'd rather just talk through things with both of you because I always feel better after talking. So let's get right into it. Let's recap the game. The offense was not good. I said that they sputtered. We talked about it. They scored 7 points, 1 point better than week one. So we'll give them that. But this was really the second time this year we looked bad against a good defense. And I think the thing that bothered me the most about watching the game today is that a week ago I watched the Steelers against Philadelphia, a pretty beaten up Philadelphia team, and they looked very beatable, which gave me a little bit of hope heading into this weekend. Philly scored 28 points on that team with a bunch of second and third string quarterbacks. And when I sit there and break down the Browns roster and compare it to Philly's roster, we should have been able to do the same thing, if not more.
Yes, that's exactly why I picked them to win today. And that's why. And I knew that, you know, things were going to be tougher this week. You know, Teller's out and Baker was hurt and there was a lot of things working against them. But I was like, OK, but still, like, this offense is better than Philly.
Agreed. But we made the Steelers look like the best team. Yeah, we made the Steelers look like the best team in the NFL. And that's a fact. Like, we made the Steelers look really good. And I will give credit to the Steelers because they game planned and they definitely like threw Baker Mayfield off. And we're going to get into that a little bit. But just to break down the stats, the offense only had 220 yards in this game. 75 of them came from the ground. And the ground game has really been the Browns' strong suit. We were 1 of 12 on third downs. You're not going to win football games if you can't convert first downs. Like, end of story right there. And then we were 0 for 3 and 4 downs. So again, we had nothing going for us. And we're gonna talk about Baker Mayfield, because you can't talk about the offense and not talk about Baker. He was bad. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all there is to it. He was bad. He was also injured coming into this game. He had bruised ribs. We all know this. This has been the story leading up to this game. He was questionable up until yesterday. We didn't even know if he was going to play. The offensive line did him no favors. Baker ended the game 10 for 18 with one touchdown, two picks, including the early pick six. He was sacked four times. He had a really, really rough game. I honestly felt like he got sacked way more than four times. Did it feel that way to any of you?
Yeah,
it felt like it was way more.
It felt like he got sacked on every possession.
Same. I mean, he might as well have been, right? Because like nothing happened. So Case Keenum, we all know he came in the fourth quarter, took over for him. Coach Stefanski commented in his post-game presser that he didn't want to watch Baker take another hit. He also shot down any of the narrative that there would be a change in the starting quarterback position heading into next week, as long as Baker is healthy. All right, guys. So with Baker, if you didn't have concerns already about him after this game, did anything change with you guys? Brittany, I'll start with you.
For me, no. Like, it's the same, like I said before, the narrative on him changes game to game. And, you know, when I talk about the Cavs, right, and the position that they're in right now, I'm always like, you know, you're watching something from the start and you're watching it develop. And This is exactly how I feel about Baker Mayfield. I knew going into this season that it was going to be tough for him just because this is his fourth. And I cannot stress this enough, guys. I've said it today and I'll keep saying it. This is his fourth head coach in 3 years. Now, you had Hugh, you had Greg Williams, you had Freddie Kitchens. So can we please just stop? I'm about to like cry right now.
Oh no, we're only like 10 minutes in.
I'm tired of this. I have been attacked for hours about this subject. And it's like, number one, everyone wants to complain. Baker's terrible. Sit him. He's done. He's not NFL. He's a backup, blah, 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 whatever. And all these people complain and bitch and moan. And it's, you ask them, well, what's the alternative? If you were in charge, Dale, what would you do? What's going to save this team? Well, the draft. Okay, then let's take it to that. So say the Browns are drafting, you know, 18, 20 range. What quarterback are they going to get? And do you understand how long it's going to take to start over again? That's the problem that they're not getting. They're just like, well, this isn't like ordering ice cream, guys. You can't just pick a flavor and say, I don't really like that one. I'll go back tomorrow and pick another one. It's not like that. This is a business. This is a franchise. They invested in this guy, so they're going to see it through. As long as Stefanski and Barry believe in him, they're done. So the fans can bitch and moan all they want, and they will, because it's their absolute favorite thing to do in the world is bitch and moan. But Baker's your guy. Deal with it.
I wrote down in the notes tonight, and I texted both of you this question as well. When did we become the fan base that just gives up when things don't go our way? If we aren't at the level of the Steelers and the Ravens, and that's where we want to be based on my mentions today, mm-hmm. right? Everybody thought that we should be playing at the same level as the Ravens and the Steelers today. How are we going to do that if we start over every single year? We will never get there, you guys.
They got used to this. They were like, you know, this is a normal way to be. Just, you know, counting on starting over all the time. Where has that got us?
Yeah, like we're just repeating the same thing.
Has that worked in the past? When has that ever worked? You know, start getting a new quarterback, getting a new regime, getting new head coaches, and we just keep doing it over and over and over and over again. And guys, it doesn't work. That's not how you are successful in this league.
Yeah, like imagine.
This league is designed for everyone to go 8-8. That's what the NFL is. It's designed. That's why, you know, the draft is the way it is. It's meant for parity. It's meant for everyone to get a chance. So just by tanking or being bad or getting good draft picks and then saying, oh, you know what? Now it's time to flip regimes. Now it's time to get another quarterback. This is not going to work. This is not how you do it.
Yeah, I also said, imagine if this was your logic in life when things got hard or if things weren't going your way. You just like throw it away and start over. I do this sometimes with appliances where like, you know, something gets too hard to clean, like my toaster oven, for instance. Like I can't get the like crusty crumbs off. Sometimes I'll just throw it away and start all over. But that's like not the smart thing to do. Like it's expensive, you know, right. Like it's a really quick fix. But then like 2 years, I'm like, well, do I throw it away and start over again? Do I throw $100, $150 out the window? Or do I clean it? Do I try to figure out a way to live with it? This is the toaster oven, the Browns toaster oven. Oh my God.
I once had a Sony Walkman for like 12 years. Because I wouldn't give up on it. I was like, no, this is it. This is my lifeline right here. This little thing, it's probably like $30. I could have just, you know, by the time I finally got rid of it, it was so busted and there were just pieces hanging off of it. But like it took 12 years for me to just get rid of this thing because I was so attached to it. But like these people that just want to start over all the time. Do you know how hard it is to start over? You should. You've lived it.
Yes.
They learn nothing. Nothing.
Also, can we point out with Baker, not only was he hurt, the O-line was busted up too. Like he wouldn't have gotten sacked so many times if the O-line was there. Like there were a few times where Jedrick Wills missed his coverage that there were just holes all over the place. And, you know, it was a depleted offensive line. So for the poor performance that Baker had tonight, I don't put it all on him. And like, and this was one game. And then also to your point, Britt, with the Dales talking about the draft, I feel like the Dales feel like every single draft is like the draft that Baker came from, where you had Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones. Like you had like six or seven really high quality quarterbacks in one draft. That like never happens. You're lucky if you have one, maybe two quarterbacks per draft. That's why the Browns wound up taking DeShone Kizer in like 2017, because he was the only quarterback available at their draft pick. So, you know, it's just like not every draft is going to have half a dozen really high quality quarterbacks that like any one of those. Sam Darnold, I forgot about Sam Darnold. Any one of those quarterbacks could have gone number one that year. Any one of those quarterbacks could have been playing for the Browns because they went number one. So, you know, not every draft is like that. Like this year, as far as I know, Trevor Lawrence.
That's it. That's the only safe bet.
Yeah.
And people want to argue about Justin Fields, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to say anything about the kid personally. I don't pay attention to Ohio State football that much to, like, you know, give analysis. But I'm saying Trevor Lawrence is probably a safe bet. He's probably going to be very good in the NFL. I will totally get on board with that. But number one, we're already out of that lottery. We're not getting him. Four wins is already too many.
Yeah.
We're done. So you're not going after that. If you say Justin Fields, understand that historically, Ohio State quarterbacks are not ready for the NFL. They're peaked in high school or in college, and then, you know, that's it.
I mean,
and I'm not trying to piss off Ohio State fans. That's just the reality. You can accept it or not, but that's the reality. They're not made for the NFL. Maybe Justin Fields is different. I don't know.
Ask Washington how Dwayne Haskins is working out.
Yeah, but if you're going to start over, if you're going to say, well, we need to start over, you better – I almost dropped an F-bomb right now, and I'm not going to. You better start over with a sure thing. And Trevor Lawrence is the only sure thing in that draft.
Well,
that's it. And they're done. They're not getting that.
Well, and here's another thing. No draft pick is ever a sure thing. That's the problem. Because, like, Trevor Lawrence is great at Clemson. He's great under Dabo Sweeney's system. But what if he gets drafted to a system that doesn't fit his strengths? Or if he does get drafted to a system that does fit his strengths, you know, what if he, you know, gets a broken leg on his first game? Like, all of a sudden you've wasted your first round draft pick on a broken leg. Like, that's kind of what happened to Tim Couch. Like, he had the potential to be great, but he was just so injured over and over and over again that now he's considered one of the greatest busts of all time. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, there's no sure things in the draft. There never is. And I agree with you, Britt. Like, there's just no... Browns fans should not be looking to the draft. Like, first off,
why are we talking about
again? The draft? They're stuck in this mentality that the way it's been is the way it has to be, and that's not it anymore.
Yeah, do you want to know what the sure thing is in the draft? Is when you draft players that fit your system and your scheme. And right now, we're trying to figure out if the players that we have on this team fit. Like, that is what this year is about. And you guys, we're six games in. Like, are we really going to judge everything off of a week six loss to the Steelers? No, like, maybe let's judge that at the end of the year. Like, we don't have to make these decisions right now. So in my opinion, it's not fair to do that. And you don't want to know the other thing that I think hurt Baker today as well? There was no run game. The run game was non-existent. It wasn't established. And if you look at the Browns going into this game, the run game, we were the first in the entire NFL. Okay, when the run game gets going, Baker Mayfield is comfortable. Now, in the Steelers' credit, they have one of the best run defenses in the league, and they shut us down. They had a great game plan going into this game. Shut down the run, make Baker Mayfield throw, apply pressure. They played the game perfectly to a T. Now, we have to see Baker figure out when teams stop the run and apply pressure to him. This is where he needs to improve. And that pick six in literally the first minute of the game, he was clearly shook the rest of the game. Like, that literally changed the entire game. Mm-hmm. The entire game. Nothing could happen after that moment. I don't want to make excuses for Baker Mayfield. I don't think he wants to be sitting there making excuses. Part of me wanted him to not even play this game because of his injury and because of the ribs. Like, it would have been easier, I think, to swallow if he didn't even start the game. But I don't want this whole narrative to shift that Baker Mayfield isn't the quarterback. Again, we're six games in. This was a really, really shitty loss. Let's bounce back. We have to play against Cincinnati next week. They're not going to be an easy win at this point in time. Like, no team is going to be an easy win for this team. They can put up points. So let's see him bounce back, much like he did after the Ravens game. I still fully have trust in Kevin Stefanski. And I want to talk about that a little bit. We know the last couple of weeks we've been just running victory laps, lapping people left and right because of Coach Stefanski. And I still fully believe in him. But his offense did have a rough go at it today, as we talked about, only scoring 7 points after 3 weeks of scoring 30. What do we think happened? Are you guys still feeling confident in Kevin Stefanski?
I think, well, number one, you know, Nick Chubb's out. That doesn't help. And then Baker, the offensive line struggled today to be nice.
Yeah, and you have to mention, Brittany, Wyatt Teller, like not having him as a piece of the offensive line has been a huge impact.
I mean, he had absolutely no time to do anything today. He got sacked 4 times. Like, I'm not going to say Kevin Stefanski had a great game. He didn't. Play calling was suspect, but I don't know what could have been different. I think today was just a day that they were just going to fail.
Yeah, I mean,
from the beginning, like everyone has days like that. Think about like work days. Yeah. Some days you are just start the day and you spill your coffee all over the place. Like this morning, I woke up this morning and I had 2 nosebleeds by 10 o'clock.
No.
You knew it was going to be a bad day. Known
at that point, I was like, I should have just gone to bed then. But, you know, I went out, whatever. But, like, there are just some days, you just don't have a whole lot going for you. And the Browns offense, they just did not have a whole lot going for them. Kevin Stefanski they all had a bad game. All of them. No victory laps are taken today. Yeah.
I also think Kevin Stefanski, it was brought up a couple of weeks ago, how he talked about how him and Alex Van Pelt would game plan, you know, through three quarters or whatever, they would put something together. There's no way that they game planned to be down 24-0. Was it 24-0 at halftime?
No, I think it was 24-7. They got
24-7. So they wouldn't have planned to be down by that much. So like at that point, you have to assume that now they're throwing pretty much everything out the window at this point to try to figure out how they get back in the game. So I will say Kevin Stefanski, you know, was not expecting that. Didn't really see those adjustments coming out of halftime. Again, like Baker was getting hit left and right. Like at that point, like the game was lost. I did want to see the players, like they got out physicaled. Like they really did. They got out physical.
They got bullied.
And I hope that that is a lesson that they go back and they look at, because I do think like there was some, I think, forced storylines trying to happen with the whole Myles Garrett thing. Kareem Hunt went on record of saying like, we're going to win, like something about like do this for Miles or win this for Miles.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that material, I think, for the Steelers and with the new coaching staff, like, of course, like they didn't want them to focus on last year, rightfully so. But the Steelers, they were all there. Like this was their first game with Myles Garrett playing again. And we just got dominated and we didn't put up a fight. Yeah. And I hate the Browns team that gives up. And I did feel like part of it was just them like pouting. I mean, the game wasn't over at halftime. Like they were getting the ball back. If you score going into halftime and then you get the ball back, like it could be an entirely different game. And I just felt like there just wasn't any of that fight left in them.
No, and like I do feel kind of bad for Stefanski, just because if you know you can't pass, your quarterback's bad. He was not feeling 100%, but then he was just having a bad game. So passing game's done, but then you also can't get the running game. Like what are you supposed to do? How do you play? Like what kind of scheme are you supposed to run then? Everything's not working. So where do you go? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, in the third quarter, I was like, how is this game not over yet? it was the longest game ever. And
they could not get anything going.
I also want to say, like, Big Ben didn't do anything special. Like, he did not do anything special. Like, the defense, and we're going to talk about the positive here. The defense actually held their own in the first half. Like, they actually gave the Browns offense a chance to stay in the game, right? Because Pittsburgh wasn't really doing much. Like Big Ben had a couple of throws and I wouldn't even say that it was the defensive fault for giving up those throws. They actually had pretty good coverage. The wide receivers made really good plays. Like I'm not going to fault the defense for that, but I will say like the defense didn't roll over in that first half. It was truly the offense that really just let us down today.
Yeah, and like you can expect the defense, like we said all year, like they're gonna give up 30 points a game. That's gonna happen. So you just have to rely on the offense to make up for it. And today was just one of those days where the offense was not gonna do it. It just was not gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, when you throw a pick six and then you have another interception, it's gonna be really hard to climb back from that. Especially when the other team doesn't have turnovers. Like if there's no turnovers that the defense can come up with, it's going to be really, really hard to battle back and win that game.
Yeah. Yes. And their momentum was killed really quickly. Like they went into halftime having scored a touchdown, which is great. And then they got the ball back in the second half and then went three and out. So, I mean, that was, I think if they had at least gotten one first down to start the second half, then it would have been a little bit different. But the fact that they went three and out, like, I just think that, like at that point, it just felt like the game was over.
Yeah, at one point, my husband and I were chatting, and I think it was in my family's group chat. It did feel like the Steelers, I was saying this to Meredith too, they knew the snap count because as soon as the ball was snapped, like they were off to the races. Like it was actually like insane with how quickly they were getting off to the ball and to Baker specifically. And I don't know if at some point too, it felt like they almost knew what play they were calling and running. So again, like hats off to Mike Tomlin, who the Steelers fans tend to hate a lot of times. But again, like let's talk about consistency. Big Ben and Mike Tomlin have been together for a very long time. Like this is a team that is, they've won together. They've been in the same system together.
And you know why they've stuck around, Bree? They didn't start over every time they hit a little bump in the road. Can you imagine?
It's way easier to do that.
This is how good teams are made, guys. You stick around. You don't give up. If you have a guy, you invest in him. Imagine investing in Big Ben.
Ugh. Yeah, I know.
But they did. They did, and it worked. And they built a system around him and played to his strengths. Bill Cowher and then Mike Tomlin, great coaches. That's how good teams are built. And all these people that just want to, you know, toss Baker away and start over fresh. And this is, again,
I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute. Do you have your little notebook of when we predicted where we would be at this point in the season? I know we were going to hold off until we got halfway through. All right,
I have it on my table, like right over here.
We're going to look at this a little early because I do have to ask the question, you guys. Like, 4-2. Like, hello? We are still 4-2. We are talking like we are 2-4. We are not 2-4. Still winning.
That's what's getting lost. People are just brushing that aside, too. Like, 4-2 is still good, guys.
I don't give a shit if we
this
play.
Is so much better than where we were.
I don't give a shit if those wins came from a JV football team or a junior high team. I don't care. We're 4-2. Right. Like, we're 4-2. Yes. Keep winning.
So, what's funny, after week six, Bree, you have the Browns at 3-3. Oh, Brittany, you have the Browns at 4-2. Actually, Brittany's batting 1,000 for her predictions right now. She has a loss in week one, 4 wins in a row, and a loss this week.
Look at you. Brittany, who did I have them losing to? Indy?
Week four. And then I actually have it 4-2 also. So I have them lose. So I have them losing the first 2 weeks and then winning the next four. So Britt and I both have the Browns at 4-2. Bree, you had them at 3-3.
Hey, be my expectations. Listen, I don't know why everyone thinks too that we can't beat them the second time. Like we can.
Yeah.
We're gonna absolutely. The goal is to get better. That's what you hope for. It's gonna be at
home. And we're gonna have people back next time too.
Right. Like
this is
every week.
These people jumping ship and panicking and slamming the panic buttons. It's like, guys, can you calm down?
Okay, so I
not too long ago we were completely winless. Like we just relax at 4-2, pump the brakes.
Yeah. So I know we're gonna get to Brown's Twitter because we're all very
We can get there.
You're annoyed
get
by there. It. However, so I'll start off with something positive that I saw on Brown's Twitter, and I really like this tweet. It said, "Every week that goes by is 1 week closer to getting Nick Chubb back."
That is so true.
So I mean, and same thing. Like, unfortunately, Teller is week to week. But I don't know, maybe next week is the week that he comes back. He was like, it was pretty evident within the first play how badly missed he was on offense. So,
oh yeah,
you know, I think
it was brutal.
You know, at the very least, Nick Chubb and Wyatt Teller coming back, I think would completely turn this team around. Just those two players. Like, there are other players that would absolutely make an impact that the Browns could benefit from getting off of IR or wherever they are. But I think the two players that I want back the most right now are Wyatt Teller and Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm not saying if we would have had Nick Chubb tonight that he would have been the player that would have changed the game. But I wouldn't underestimate having both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt to be utilized in the same game. Because I think that is a benefit that we had the first four games of the season, or the first four games before Nick Chubb got hurt, was the fact that they were able to kind of stay fresh and game plan off of that. So you also have to wonder too how that has impacted the playbook. Because as much as I love Dearness Johnson and Dontrell Hilliard, who have stepped up and stepped into these roles they weren't expected to, they are not a substitute for Nick Chubb or even Kareem Hunt for that matter. So the playbook, in my opinion, has probably changed in that sense as well. So that's a lot. That's a lot to take on when you're missing that piece of the pie and you have to have Kareem Hunt fill in for Nick Chubb. And then who do you have to fill in for Kareem Hunt or what he was doing? So again, you know, like, we are trying to figure out what this offense is without Wyatt Teller, without Nick Chubb, who are two key players within the run game. And again, like, we're going to be playing Cincinnati this week, but we had Nick Chubb against Cincinnati. So, like, don't forget about that either.
Yes.
Again, I don't want to be a downer. I'm not trying to be a downer at all. But, you know, there's just so many factors that can happen week to week. And again, things can change based on injuries. But I do hope that we get some key defensive players back as well. Like, hopefully Ronnie Harrison comes back next week. I think that was someone that we were looking forward to having after his big game last week. But let's get into Browns Twitter, Meredith, since you segued there. Obviously, it all ties back to this game as well. We already touched on this a little bit, but just the fan base and the fact, and Brittany, you were talking about this, just moving on so quickly. And you touched on the draft a little bit, but let's talk about what is the option in free agency? Because again, you're not going to get a position in a draft pick to be able to move on from quarterback position, but from a free agency standpoint, like, who are you targeting, Browns fans that want to move on from Baker? Like, who's your option? And the one thing that I would hate to see happen is if you move on from Baker, another team picks him up and he flourishes there, because that seems to always happen.
You know, that's 100% what would happen if the Browns let go of Baker Mayfield. Like, there were some options in free agency during the offseason. Like, Cam Newton was an option. Tom Brady was an option, but they didn't want to come to Cleveland. They had no plans or designs to come here. So, I mean, and those are the guys that if you're looking for, like, the high quality veteran QB that's going to win right now, those are the guys to do it. But there are free agents. They have the power to go where they want to go. And Cleveland was not it. Sorry, guys. Like, no offense to Cleveland. Everyone knows how much I love it here. But, you know, the free agents that could have started over Baker didn't come here. And they're somewhere else.
Yeah, but I remind you, Cam Newton, they lost today. They are 2-3, the Patriots. The mastermind, Bill Belichick, and Josh McDaniels. They're 2-3. Hello. We have a better record than them.
The Browns have a better record than the Patriots. What?
I don't know if you guys caught this. Arriving. But Aaron Rodgers, I think, had two pick sixes tonight and lost, only scoring 10 points. So Aaron Rodgers, who everybody loves to worship the ground he walks on, I can't stand him, by the way, he lost tonight. Do you think people are asking if Aaron Rodgers should be benched or looking at the draft? I mean, I guess they did draft a quarterback last year, so maybe they should be looking at them. I mean, come on, guys. Because
he's terrible.
Come on.
A few people, I saw a few options for quarterback, if you guys are interested in hearing them. Someone said that the Browns should trade OBJ and a third rounder for Baker. Because OBJ was visibly upset on the sidelines today when he took his cleats off with 6 minutes left. So that means he needs to go and he doesn't want to be here. So, you know, that's one option. The other option was, Hold on, I'll get back to you on that one.
Well, so okay,
there was two that were pretty good.
Oh, okay, wait.
Okay. Well, while you're looking for that, yeah. Okay. So let me bring this up to the trade OBJ because he looked unhappy crowd. Let me pose this question to you. For those of you who thought that OBJ looked unhappy, are you happy right now?
No, I
was not happy.
Okay, I'm sorry. Not happy. Here was the trade. Trade OBJ, Baker. No. Okay, trade Baker and a third to New York, the Jets, for Sam Darnold.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Or just trade OBJ in general and for a quarterback. Didn't specify what quarterback, but those are the two options. So trade OBJ or trade Baker and a third to the Jets for Sam Darnold. Because apparently it's okay for Sam Darnold to completely
not win games.
Butt. That's fine. But it's not okay for Baker to have bad games. So I don't, you could like,
oh boy.
The mental gymnastics this all takes is just truly exhausting.
Wait, there's a lot to unpack here, but I have to try. I have to try to unpack this a little bit. First on OBJ, I still don't understand the logic that everything is OBJ's fault when the Browns lose. Don't understand that at all. Trading OBJ is not going to help anything. I don't know what you're trading him for at this point. But Odell Beckham Jr. did not lose this Browns game today. In fact, I actually wanted them to utilize OBJ and Jarvis more in ways that we have used them in the past few games. I don't care if you throw the shovel pass and let OBJ run. Like, the run game wasn't working. Maybe give it to OBJ and Jarvis and try to make our playmakers make plays. Like, that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see some of those plays where, not the trick plays, but the plays where that throws the defense off a little bit and makes them guessing. We didn't do anything to make them guess today. So I wanted to see more of that. And the second thing on OBJ, at what point did socks become stockings? Because Mary Kay kept talking about him being in his stockings. And all I could think about was him wearing pantyhose. I was like, is OBJ wearing like thigh highs? Like, did I miss something? Like he's wearing stockings on the sideline. Or I was thinking about, like, you know, the stockings were hung by the chimney with care. So yeah, I don't know at what point like socks became stockings now, but apparently that happened.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard the word stocking used by anyone except for like my grandmother. Like, cause I feel like if we're like actually like, if any one of us were talking about it, it'd be like nylons or pantyhose. Like, that's what we would call them. Like, who says stockings anymore? Right.
That was
a weird tangent. But like, anytime someone gets unhappy with something in Cleveland, we should just be like, all right, well, we're gonna trade you to another city. Bye. Go. Leave.
That's it. Like, anytime there's any adversity at all, let's just scrap it all and start over. Like, imagine if you did that with your house. Like, oh, the roof's leaking, better get rid of it.
You
just fix it and, you know, then move on. Like, you don't just trash everything because one part of it is struggling. That's not how anyone functions in real life.
Okay, you guys, is this why I'm still single? Because anytime a guy, like, if I'm like seeing a guy and he like even remotely gets on my nerves, I dump him.
Yes. You are the Cleveland Browns fans right now, Meredith.
Yes. Men are designed to get on your nerves. That's what they do. From the time they are born until the moment they die, they are made to annoy you. That's their main purpose, and they love it. That's their favorite thing in the world to do, is be annoying.
I know. I have such a low tolerance for bullshit where I'm just like, okay, you're gonna like try and play a game with me, bye, see you later, Chet.
Ew, please don't ever date me.
I already did. he was a big tall weightlifting bro named Chet.
Ooh, yeah. Meredith, that sounds awful.
It only lasted like 6 months. And then I got rid of him.
Rough.
We got to work on that, Meredith.
I know.
Okay.
But yes, you can't just throw men away because they're annoying. And you can't just throw quarterbacks away because they have bad games. This is not real life situations, guys.
Yeah, so can I ask you guys this question? Do you think that the game against Cincinnati, like how they respond to it, do you think there's a lot of weight on this game now as well? Maybe before there wasn't, Or do you think if they lose, they're still 4-3? Not that I think that they're going to lose, but they're still 4-3. And then you have the Raiders, and then you have your bye week. Ideally, where do you want your record to be sitting heading into the bye week?
Ideally, we get 2 more wins. Yes. I think it will hurt a lot if they lose next week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a win, but that would be a gut punch losing to Cincinnati next week.
Yeah, I would agree with that because I think the Raiders are going to put up a fight as well. I don't think
either. Yeah, I think the Raiders are better than like we think they are. I really do. But Cincinnati, you know, they trashed Indianapolis for the first half today, which was amazing. Yeah.
Yep.
But you gotta beat the Bengals. You have to.
Yeah, I agree. Go 5-3 into your bye week. Like that's where I would want to be.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with that.
Or better. Or 6.
So
yeah.
Yeah, so when we were talking about like the wins over the Cowboys and the Colts, we said the same thing about both of those wins. It's like those were the games that you should win. And that was where the Browns failed in the past, is that they were not winning the games that they should win. And this upcoming week against Cincinnati is another one of those. This is a game that you should win. And if they don't, then it's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, they're going to be playing at Cincinnati. They're going on the road. So you have 2 road games back to back. Granted, they're not far. Mm-hmm. We're going to obviously know from an injury standpoint where everybody stands going into this week. But that was one thing I wanted to ask you guys too. Speaking of injuries, like the team really didn't practice this week.
OBJ was out for 2 days because, you know, he was under the weather, and because of COVID protocols, you know, they had to send him home. And that was another thing that got on my nerves with Browns Twitter this week. They were getting really mad, like OBJ is getting sent home. Like, why is he getting sent home? He doesn't have COVID. And it's like, well, no, he doesn't. However, if you even show up, and this is not the Browns, this is every single team in the NFL, if you so much as show up to the facilities with a sniffle, you get sent home, and you have to have 2 positive tests 24 hours apart before you're allowed to come back in. Those are the protocols that the NFL and the Players Association agreed on. So I got so annoyed at people getting pissed off about the OBJ stuff. And it's like, no, like we don't know that he has COVID. No one ever said that he had COVID. He just wasn't feeling that great. And because the Browns wanted to be careful, they didn't want to have a Tennessee situation where you knock out your entire team, like 23 guys in a week. That's not what they wanted. So they were being careful. They were following protocol. And look what happened. OBJ was healthy and he was able to play. But also because they were following protocol, OBJ missed 2 days of practice.
Yeah. And Baker obviously didn't practice much this week either. Jarvis, I believe, was out. Yeah. I can't imagine that that helped going into this weekend as well. But they also didn't disclose what OBJ's sickness was either. Listen, when I'm sick, I can barely walk down my stairs, let alone like do anything intense. I mean, OBJ probably wasn't 100% either still from whatever the sickness he had was. I mean, I imagine they pumped him full of drugs, IVs, whatever, but still, like, you got to keep that into consideration as well. So I just hope that we have a healthy week. We're able to practice together, bounce back, regroup, and focus on the Bengals. Like, you got to brush this one off.
Yes. Just get up. Forget about it.
Be angry tonight, but get back to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm already done being angry. After I screamed at everyone, I'm ready.
So wait, smile. So everyone in the chat is talking about man flu. What is that?
Oh my God.
Man flu. Oh.
The man flu. Okay. I have a lot to say about
this. Well, Angie is right. She says, you know, men are laid up for a week with a damn paper cut. Now she's right about that.
That's it.
Back in March, I believe I had COVID. Mm-hmm. I was working 10-hour days from home with COVID while caring for my 2 children. Meanwhile, my husband gets a sniffle and he can't function. Cannot function. That is the man flu.
Yeah.
And I think it all stems from their mothers like over mothering them when they get sick. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
But whenever I am sick, I literally do 10 times more than my husband ever does when he catches like a sniffle. It's a sniffle. Yes. And he's like, I can't move.
Yes. Yes. I think I told you guys this. One time I was dating a guy and he got a cold, just like a common cold. Okay. And he positioned himself on the couch because it was too much for him to blow his nose. So he positioned himself on the couch. He was laying sideways so that and he put newspaper on the ground so that his nose could just drip onto the newspaper because it was too much strength to blow his nose. That is the ultimate man flu.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there was another time, I think it was when my kids were even younger, when little dude was like a baby and like really needed someone to pay attention to him. My husband was sick and I think it was just like a sinus infection, you know, like which sinus infections you can function typically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he like quarantined himself to the basement. I was also feeling under the weather and I was like trying to disinfect everything in the house while taking care of both children's. And then at one point I was like, man, I do not feel good. I took my temperature. I had like 102 degree temperature and was like, I got to go to urgent care. I had strep throat. I was just like running around, like cleaning everything, taking care of the kids with strep throat. Meanwhile, my husband's just down here with a sinus infection. It's like binge watching Amazon. I was like, don't worry. I got everything. We're good. We're good up here. Strep throat, living my life.
Strep throat can kill you as an adult. Do you know
that?
Oh
my God. Yeah. It
actually can kill you anytime, but like seriously, I got strep as an adult one time and I felt like I was dying.
I mean,
like I was nauseous. I felt like I was going to throw up and then like left these blisters in the back of my throat for like weeks.
So bad.
It was terrible.
So bad.
So I guess, so based on the comments, they're thinking maybe OBJ had the man flu. so maybe he really did show up to Berea with the sniffles.
That's probably exactly what I probably had, like allergies.
Well, because like here's the thing. Ugh. So the weather, you know, the weather is changing. It's starting to get colder in Ohio. So I wake up with, you know, I wake up congested with sore throats. And of course my immediate reaction is, oh my God, I have corona. But no, it's not. It's just that always happens to me when the weather changes. It's just now we have a deadly virus going around with those exact same symptoms. But yeah, no, yeah. I wake up, I have a little bit of a sore throat and I get scared for about 3.2 seconds. And then I remember like, oh wait, it's just because it's cold outside. And I slept with my windows open like a dummy.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then my throat starts to feel better the minute I get up and start moving around.
Yeah. So hopefully there's no additional sicknesses this week. Yes. And we can move on from that. So can I ask you guys a question? I don't know if we're going to have a show later this week. We'll probably talk about that if we have a preview show as well, since we're recording this on a Sunday night, which is new for us. But it feels really good to talk to you guys. I have to say, it's just like therapy going before bed. Yeah.
I feel better
Me
now.
Too. I feel
I'm good. I'm smiley now.
Get it all out.
There we go.
I have to ask you guys. So you think the Browns pull off the win on Sunday?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a caller on our post game show or if it was one of our hosts, but they said the last time the Browns lost this badly, they won four in a row afterwards. So
there you go.
It was our host on one of our hosts on the post game show. You know, they got beat badly in week one and then won four in a row. They got beat really badly today. And then maybe they went four in a row. And then if that happens, then all of a sudden you're looking at a team that's 8-2.
Ooh. I believe they will. Meredith, can you double check and make sure that I picked the Browns to beat the Bengals? Actually, look for the next 2 weeks.
So week 7, we all have a win. Okay. Week 8, that's the Raiders, I believe. Bree, Brittany, you guys both have a win. I have a loss.
Woo! Okay. I was feeling myself on that one.
Well, to remind everyone of our predictions, Bree's prediction was 10-6. Brittany's prediction was 13-3. Mine is 11-5.
I still feel good about 10-6. I still feel good about
13-3.
Yeah, I mean, like 10, like, and that was something that I had sent to our group text during the game, was that I was like, this is one game, 10-6 is still attainable. Like if the Browns end this season at 10-6, it's going to be considered a successful season. It's going to look great for Kevin Stefanski. You know, Baker's going to be riding high. Like a 10-6 season is going to look good, but then you have to remember, when you go 10-6, those are 6 games that you're going to lose. So that's kind of how I'm looking at this and saying, like, this is one of the 6.
You're exactly right. You're going to lose.
The Browns are going to lose.
Listen, that's actually a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up before we end the show, because you're right. Like, we weren't expecting to win every single game. There's going to be losses that we're going to come across. I get it. This isn't the loss that we wanted to have, especially against the Steelers. Like, you'd love to actually beat them one time at Heinz Field.
Sure.
That would be great. I would love to see that in my lifetime. be wonderful. Mm-hmm. My kids too. But it didn't happen. I think we all just wanted to see them play a little bit better. I didn't actually expect them to win this game today, but I expected them to look a little bit better losing. If that's fair to say.
That's fair. Yeah.
So now instead we have to wake up tomorrow, turn on our radios or watch national sports media and talk and listen to them just tear us to shreds. Like, that is what this entire week is going to be like. Everybody stay strong. Pare down the chatter of the Baker trade talk, drafting quarterback talk.
It's not no trading OBJ panic. Talk.
Yeah, can we stop panicking? Okay.
Can we put an automatic ban on anyone who says the words trade and OBJ in the same sentence?
Trade anyone at this point. Just shut up.
Oh, so yes, everybody stay calm, remain calm this week. It's a new week. By Wednesday, we'll all be feeling a lot better about things. We'll be ready for the weekend and the game against the Bengals. We'll keep you posted if we put together another podcast later this week. We'll have to see how intense we are, how the week I can't even find words. Jesus. Yeah. How the week plays out, and then we'll figure out what's going on. But thank you all for joining us on a Sunday night. We're so happy that we recorded right after the Browns loss. Even though this wasn't as fun of a show as we've done in the past, we hope that we make you feel better about things. Stay positive. Don't forget to download us, follow us on Twitter, find us on Spotify or iTunes and Hot Mic so you guys can watch us live and join in the chats. We love chatting with you. This has been a great conversation. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday evening and no Victory Monday tomorrow, but we'll see you next week.